It's a wonderful feeling. Forgiveness is a wonderful feeling. It is. To know that someone has forgiven you for something you've been guilty for, right? And they have just forgiven and forgotten. That's what the Lord's did. We are guilty this morning, and we deserve everything and more than what we've got and what we've had coming to us. God's been better to us than what we deserve. And we truly are guilty. Amen. I'm not putting guilt on you, but I'm putting the forgiveness on you. If you're guilty and you've been forgiven, for much has been guilty for, much has been forgiven. Amen. And that's what happened to Mary Magdalene. That's why she dedicated the rest of her life to Jesus. It seems like if you read through the Gospels, Mary Magdalene had seven devils. And Jesus cast them devils out of her, and she was set free. She was so set free that she dedicated the rest of her life to Jesus and even gave that alabaster box that broke that at the feet of Jesus, that year's worth of wages. I don't know what people make a year, honestly, what would be the average this year. Probably a little less this year maybe than it was last year. I don't know for some. But that's a lot of money just in oil and just dump it out. And the disciples argued about that and fussed about it. They said, why was this waste? Why did she waste it? But she knew, and Jesus knew, that it wasn't wasted. It was her way to praise and worship the Lord. By giving her sacrifice, her all, and laying it at the feet of Jesus, she had expressed a thanksgiving to Jesus, a gratefulness that she has and had been forgiven for her sins. Ah, what a blessing. When you really see what God's done for us, and that we are guilty, and He's forgiven us, and you've got in that cleansing. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You've got in the cleansing. You say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to get that. Well, you got it when you got saved, if you're saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what's the word? Cleanseth. Say that. Cleanseth. Amen. Say it again. Cleanseth from all sin. Thank God. The blood. What can wash away my sin? That's what we just sung. Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. You can give all your money to a church. You can give all of it to some charity. You can do all kinds of good works to try to help you feel better. You can go back here and I can baptize you 10 times in a year. It won't do much good but get you wet. But you get on your knees before a holy God. And you come guilty before God. And you tell God you're sorry. And you tell Him what you're sorry for. And you say, God, I've been a sinner. I've been a bad person. I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. And you start naming, between you and God, naming what you've done that went guilty before God. And I'm telling you, you ask God to forgive you. The Father, forgive the Son the best. The Father, the parents forgive the children and can wipe it away. And our Heavenly Father will wash your sins away and forgive you, and the guilt will go. And the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free. Amen. Somebody ought to go to church. That's what we need. You say, well, that's what we needed in 2020. That's what we need in 2021. Go through the blood. You've got every right. A person has every right. You don't have to go before a priest. You don't have to talk to me, a preacher. You don't have to do anything. You've got every right to go to God on your own. And I'll help anybody that comes to me. And I know that Christian brothers in Christ, we do. We pray for each other. We bear one another's burdens. But I'm telling you, you can go to an altar. You can go and you can get on your couch one night. You can get on your bed and you can talk to God. And God will come down and talk to you. And God will cleanse you and help you. Man, I wish American Christians would practice that more. There'd be a lot less suicide. There would be a lot less pill popping going on. go to take a pill to sleep, take a pill to wake up, after you get going, take a pill in the middle of the day to keep you going. I mean, what about the gospel? Somebody help me. What about the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm not against medication, but I'm just saying, what about letting God cleanse your heart? It's amazing when your mind's cleansed, your heart's cleansed, you feel better. How many of y'all know stress will take you, will take you, I mean, and leave you in shambles? You see, I'm losing my hair. See, I'm trying to grow some bangs to cover this baldness up. Y'all pray for me. I'm just picking on that, but stress will. You say, well, I'm so stressed out. Tell God about it. Tell God. Take time to unleash it out. Let it out like a river. Let it out. God will take it upon His shoulders. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. And my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know why I'm saying this. No part of my message. But it just comes out for somebody. And I think it's for all of us. To pray. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Trust and never doubt. He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave Him there. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting is not holding with a string attached where you pull it back and relive what you've already lived. Amen. You don't have to relive it. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and press forward to the mark for the prize of a high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you, whatever defeated you in 2020 can undefeat you. You can be victorious. You can be overcomers. You can persevere. You can go on. You can keep climbing. You can step up because you've got a God who's on the throne and He's not dead, but He's alive, and He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He will help you. He will empower you for tomorrow in your life. Don't be defeated. This life is only temporary. Don't be discouraged. Your problems will come and go. Don't be down and out. Because whatever it is that got you down and out, it will come to pass. Tomorrow's another day with Jesus. I mean, Christian friend, if we would really get a hold of this, we'd really get a hold of this and just live for God and live with God. Live out your faith. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Revelation chapter 3. I've got a 2-hour message I'm going to try to preach in 40 minutes. You say, preacher, we know. Some of y'all, I just had 3 ladies pass out back here. I'm sorry. But what would you rather have? Honestly. Let me just say this morning. When one of our preachers teach or preach, and teachers teach, we're not talking or preaching to a assembly or a group of people that's not here. I strive, and I know Sam strives, that when we get behind this pulpit, we're talking. We're trying to allow God to talk to us, right? And if I'm saying Scripture, which I will by the grace of God, this, what I'm saying and who I'm talking to is you. Those that are here, not those. Don't worry about those that aren't here. Don't get distracted. I wish they all were here. But you're here, and I'm here. And God's talking to you. And just to be physical about it, I'm talking to you. Amen? In Revelation 3, we have, what would you rather have? Let me just say this, it was on my heart. What would you rather have? Would you rather have a sermonette? Or would you rather be tested? Would you rather your faith be tested? Your praise be tested? Your Bible reading, your studies be tested and tried? And help hopefully better you as a Christian? Or would you rather just hear a little 20-minute, 25-minute sermon where you can go to the house and still live and be just who and what you are and not get closer to God. I'm just going to say there's a couple things about our church that we're not that type of church. We try to stay, and we try to be mindful of people's seats, you know, their hind ends, you know. We try to be mindful of people's time. But honestly, haven't we given enough time to the world? Haven't we given enough time to ourselves? I've really been thinking about this the last several days because we give a lot of time to others and a great time for Christmas time. I wonder how much that we've given to God. I wonder how much of us that we have set and celebrated and given to God. And Sunday morning, 45 minutes of service once or three times a week, however, wherever you go and however you come, is sometimes not nearly equivalent of what we really need in this life. What we really need to prepare us for what's coming. A lot of people in 2020 was caught off guard. Their faith was caught off guard. Their physical life, their whole spiritual structure was totally caught off guard. And it's shown. It has tested Christianity. 2020 has tested churches. Are they going to stay open? Are they going to close? Are they going to sing? Are they not going to sing? And I understand we have to have a balance with all the medical things. But it has really tested, let me tell you, it's tested me. I'm trying to be real. Can I just level out with you this morning? I'm not a TV evangelist. I'm not. I just want to talk to you. But it's tested me and it's tested you. It showed this year circumstances that we was not used to has tested your faith. And I hope that you can say, as Job said when his faith was tested, he said, "When I come forth, I will come forth as gold that has been tried in a furnace of earth, like gold has been gone through the fire, tried in a fire, and has been purified. And as the impurities have been burnt out like chaff and been separated from the value, been separated from what's important, been separated from the gold, the most precious thing." Somebody help me. That's what's happened. Now you have your families. Thank God. Some of y'all have lost physical things this year, but you still have each other. Some of you have lost a financial thing, but you still have each other. What's most important, amen, is what God has around you. And church is most important. In this day and time, church is highly important. More important than anything else, honestly, is church. And so, continue to give yourself to God. I'm proud of you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for opening your ears and your hearts to God. And I pray that the days ahead of your life, that you will get more. And you will desire more. And you will learn more and grow more in the Word of God. We believe in teaching the Bible, the whole truth, the whole counsel of God. And I'm gonna try to do that here in just a minute. I know I'm taking my time that I was supposed to have for my message, but I'm just trying to obey the Lord. I want to teach you the whole counsel of God. I don't want to cosmetically build the church up, and when you put through the fire, you melt because there's no substance. We have a lot of formality. We're very formal people, but we have not a lot of substance. That didn't make sense, Miss Billy. We don't have a lot of substance. Is that better? She's my English helper, amen, sometimes. We have a lot of outside things, but not a lot of inside structure. And what every individual needs, and let me just say to the Father, what every father needs is a foundation on Jesus Christ. A structure that begins with Jesus Christ being your Lord. And then a foundation built off the words of God. Amen. This book, this wonderful words of life, the Bible. We have a lot of formality in our lives, in religious circles, ceremonies and rituals, but we need substance. We need strength, and we need our foundation, not shakable, not falling apart. We need to hold on to what got us here and cling on in the years to come, in the days to come. Faith in a holy God. Revelation chapter 3, I want to talk to you this morning about the church of Sardis. And you'll see what's kind of inspired me to say the things that I've said to you prior to reading this scripture. In the church of Sardis, the angel, to the angel of the church of Sardis write, Revelation 3, verse 1, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Period. "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Remember verse 4, very important. You can walk worthy when everybody else isn't. You can be clean and white and pure when the whole world isn't. Men. Verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. And I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." This church of Sardis, of course, again, is a real local church, actually, in this age or city of Sardis. These were churches. They had churches in their houses. The best of my understanding and reading historically, they didn't have church buildings in Sardis, in the area of Sardis, like we have today, which is in the province of Lydia, which is now modern Turkey. And in this time of Sardis, in this dispensation, this age, they met in houses, small groups in houses, because they were separating themselves from the big papal church, the big cathedral, ceremonial leadership, government-run organization. The age of Thyatira, which was prior to this church age, they had already merged together the believers with church, and they had formed a big pawpaw church, big daddy church, where there was one religion. It actually wasn't one, but there were several major religions that they were all able to agree, and they recognized each other, and they were, as long as you were part of these 3 to 5 different religious organizations, you were accepted among everyone. And that was what was going on in the church. But you know, last Sunday morning's message, we learned that the heir of Baal came in, and the doctrine that Jezebel introduced to Israel was infiltrated in the church of Thyatira. And that doctrine of that prophetess Jezebel, how that she was influencing and accepting each and every wishy-washy, unbiblical doctrine or teaching that was brought in that day. And they was accepting it in the church. And in the church of Thyatira, it was the first time that the church, listen to me, that the church got so corrupted by all kinds of idol worship, all kinds of ceremonies, all kinds of rituals and rudiments, all kinds of shingles, all kinds of formality, that the church was so corrupted, and Jezebel, Satan's influence, Satan's pawn that influenced the church of Thyatira, was so strongly influenced into every church that the church began to be sinful, and the church began to be more wicked, and the church was ungodly in its form, and at heart, at their very heart, the very root, the very backbone of the church of Thyatira, they were sinful. There was no righteous people hardly ever in this church. And this church of Thyatira was the first church that had a bad influence on the world. And how you say, well, how did all the Roman Catholicism and the, if you back up Roman Catholicism and how that they actually the real Romans persecuted Christians at that time, how did they get there? They got through there through the heir of Balaam and this prophetess Jezebel, how that this doctrine influenced the church, where there was a hierarchy, a high power, a big daddy syndrome, and everybody else was under him. He was the priest. He was the man, right? But that's not what my Bible teaches. And I taught you that last week, that the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one who started the church. Jesus is the father of the church. Amen. Not some pope, not some name, not some organization. Jesus Christ founded the church. And I know the Catholics believe that Jesus founded the church. But I can teach you that they really don't believe that, even though they say that. Even though they say that Jesus is our church founder, they don't believe it. You say, why? Because they're not following Jesus' way. They're not following the Bible. They went off and they've been influenced by some prophetess idol worship. And that's why you see all kinds of images and all kinds of rituals. And it's dead. It's dead. It's dry. Can I help you? It's dry and it's dead. And something that is dead, have you ever, and I'm about to mess up my message, but have you ever heard a dead man say anything? If you was to illustrate a dead man, you would lay here and you would be quiet. Quiet. It bothers me when I come in here and it feels like, let me just say this. Saved people aren't quiet. They're just not quiet. We're loud people. He said, Brother Ann, I thought you were the only one loud. No, I'm not the only one loud. Just hang around for a while. Amen. If they're not loud during worship, they're loud in there. They're loud talking. Hey, it's okay. What I'm trying to say is, if we're loud, isn't that the opposite of something that is dead? If someone is alive, you're going to know they're alive. Hopefully, you see some kind of movement. They're breathing. They're talking. How many of y'all ever woke up in the middle of the night when you had babies, look over there at the crib saying, yeah, okay, everything's good. You know, you always have that fear. You said, I was the only one. Hey, y'all pray for him. I'm a mess. But I tell you, sometimes that's what I think about the church sometimes. I look out there and I say, yeah, okay. Yeah! Yeah! Just wondering. The church of Sardis was like that. They began to be stale. And the history of the country of Sardis has a lot of history, pretty cool stuff. But anyway, they had mixed religions that were accepted if you was part of the mixed religions. But the name Sardis means the escaping ones, because as you read in verse 4, it says they had a few names that even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So there are some, a few, that were called the escaped. They escaped from the big church. They escaped from the hierarchy. They escaped from the influence, Satan's carnality, dead church. There's a few that escaped from that. Amen. I'm glad to know this morning that I've not been deceived that my religion is dead. I've not been deceived that Jesus was just a man. I've not been deceived that my relationship is just out of rituals and not a relation, not a love relationship with a holy God. I'm glad to know that I have seen the truth, found the truth, heard the truth, believed the truth, and preached the truth of Jesus Christ, because my Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? The what? Life? Yes, life. If you have Jesus, friend, you have life. 1 John 5:12, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I'm glad to know this morning that I've got life. And if my old body dies and I fall down here right now and you just come up here and I'm limp as a rag and life has left me, friend, my life has not just ended. My life has just begun, because I have eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ, because I've been bought with a price and I'm saved, child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This church age, the Sardis, In a church age, like a dispensation of age, if you study history, runs only 250 years from 1500 to 1700, and it's called the time of Reformation. How many of y'all heard about that or read about the time of Reformation? Reformation. And if you have to be part of a form before you would need to be reformed. And so here's what happened. They were so caught up in, watch the word, formalism. They were so caught up in formal things. Just everything, just formal. Just formal. Dead. Dry. They were so caught up in a hierarchy formalism that their God allowed the few to reform. To be reformers. And some of them were called reformers. The ones that left Catholicism was called Protestants. You remember that? Now, we're not Protestants, but we are Christians. Okay? But there was Protestants, and we thank God for those that left the church. Martin Luther, in October the 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed a 95-page thesis on the door of the church, turned around and walked away and left that big pawpaw church, that organization. That's what he did. Because he did not want to be counted, and God had led him away from formalism. Because it doesn't produce fruit, Sam. It's unfruitful organizations. All it does, all you can do is hatch, match, and dispatch, and hope that the older people, the younger people stay, and some of them stay, right? Or the church is going to dry up. And thank God, I love old people. I love old people. I'm becoming one of them one day. One day. Long time from now. One day. I love that. But sad to say, if you were to have a gospel singing right now, you know what the most people would be there would be overage people, gray-haired people. You know, if you would have a revival service, it seems like just the older people come. You know why? Because of what they had in their heart when they were young. They remember how it was. They remember a fiery preacher. They remember a fire revival. They remember a fiery altar call. They remember what good gospel singing was and what it wasn't. And they still want some of that. Thank God for them older people that still are hungry for God. But I'm here to tell you today, we're living in a time where you have to completely change a worship service to attract younger people. And you know what you're doing? When you do that, you can get them here. You can't get them to stay. And you may be able to get them to pray a prayer that doesn't amount to anything. Somebody help me. But let me tell you what will happen is you will get them to fall into formalism. And they'll have this fickle, lightweight Christianity. Come as you are, do what you are. No walk with God. And it doesn't and will not change their life. The fruits of that are a wicked, ungodly lifestyle that's accepted, listen to me, that's accepted by the pastors and preachers in America today. We're talking about mega churches that will accept fornication, adultery, double married. They condone alcohol, social drinking, doping, smoking, the whole nine yards, and they just accept it all you have to do is believe in Jesus. Where even when they're tested, their very faith is tested, and they will say, hey, is there any other way to heaven? That they would actually say, well, there's probably many roads and many ways to heaven. You've heard them. And a lot of them are women. And I have nothing wrong with women. I appreciate women that are right worshipers with God and that are serving. I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for women in our churches, I mean, look around you, it would be dead. Because y'all men, I mean, you sit on your hands, your lips are zipped because you're afraid to say something. Maybe she'll tell you to be quiet. I don't know why. But you know what we got? We've got that spirit of acceptance that's watered and weakened the structure of our church. Listen to me. Are you with me, church? Yes. That's watered and weakened the structure, the foundation of our church. And what we need to do is to be awakened and get back to the foundation. This church of Sardis was known for that. And it says there that the church age was the Reformation. And they was considered a church. They had a name, it said, there, that they was alive. But they were dead. They were dead. Let me tell you, you can't make too much out of Jesus Christ. You can't lift Him up enough. Amen? Can't lift Him up enough. But we've lifted up everything. We've lifted up music groups. We lifted up special people. We've lifted up people that has names. They don't even, I mean, anyway, I'm going to get in trouble if I keep on. But I mean, we've lifted up so much that the name of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life is the last thing on our agenda. 2 hours of everything else in 5 minutes. So let me just bring you to this point that, listen, you've got to trust Jesus. Let me tell you, the main thing ought to be Jesus and Jesus alone. He ought to be our song in the hearts, our message when we preach, our prayer when we pray, our praise when we praise, our rejoicing when we rejoice. It ought to be about Jesus. Am I right about it? He's the way, the truth, and the life. He that hath the Son, that's Jesus, hath what? Life. I'm not dead. Can't you tell? I'm living. And I want you to know, if God gives to me next year, I'm going to live. Don't let it get you down. Live, child of God. Live, child of God. Hey, you got Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let things get you down. Live. Live, man. And enjoy what God has allowed you to have. Here's this church of Sardis. Christ in the church is identified with the seven spirits of God there in verse 1. Seven spirits of God. Look in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, it tells you about the seven spirits of God. Isaiah 11. If I can find it. Isaiah chapter 11. I used to mark all these. Sometimes I turn to them. Sometimes I'll quote them. Sometimes I just say it. Isaiah 11 verse 2. Watch, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest. Here's that form, Sam, that form. Verse number 1. And there shall come forth a root, a rod out of the stem of Jesse. He's a rod. And a branch shall grow up, grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, and the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits of God. Then this church of Sardis had the seven stars, which according to Revelation chapter 1, were the seven angels of each church. Each church had an angel. And I believe that these are identified as the pastors of these churches. The ones that were the spiritual leaders of the church. I'm glad that Christ is the head of the church. Then the commendation of the church, in verse number 1, he said, I know, Revelation 3, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that livest and art dead. I'm glad that Jesus knows our works. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, Jesus knows. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. That's why He knows our works. And whether they're inward works or outward works. Now, this church of Sardis, because of the formality, Brother Billy, had a lot of outward works. They could be looked upon as the world, and they had all the form, all the formality and rituals, and the world could look at them and say that they had a name, that they were living. Because it looked like they were living. Because they were in and out. They were faithful to church. Amen. I hate to pick on Catholics all the time, and I don't mean that. I'm not picking on a person at all. If I say religion denominations from this pulpit, I'll pick on every one of them because we all have a lot of mess and problems. Mainly Baptists. Baptists are sometimes the deadest people there is. But anyway, the Catholics believe, if you've had Catholic friends, you'll know that they can go out on the night, paint the town red on Friday and Saturday night, but go to Mass first thing in the morning and do their rituals, take the communion, confess, and they're all good. Okay? Just in and out. The world sees that in and out. They had a name that they were living, but God said, you're dead. That's what He said. You're dead. All right. Luke chapter 11 and look in verse 37. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Pharisees. They were religious people of the day. And He spake, a certain Pharisee besought Him to dine with him, and He went in and sat down. And when the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Now, you boys, don't take this, that you don't have to wash your hands before you eat if you've been digging in the mud. Anyway, Jesus was teaching the Pharisees something vital and important, not to be caught into formalism. So he went to dine without washing his hands. And the Lord said unto him, verse 39, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but your inward part is full of raving and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms. He said, you'd rather give alms, the things that ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So here is a great example of the church of Sardis. They were pharisaical. They could pass judgment on their own self, but they would judge everybody else for what they seem that they did wrong. Isn't that so easy? You could fix all my problems, couldn't you, if I just told them to you? But you know what I've practiced many, many times? In counseling, I've had people come to me and I say, well, let me ask you this. If I were you, what would you tell me to do? If I were this, if I had done this, how would you help me? And you know what they would do? They would judge me. And they would give me the solution. And I would say, that's pretty good counsel. That's pretty good. You ought to follow that. Follow your own advice, right? Here the church of Pharisee had all the outward appearance. Everything on the outward was all just right. Every I dotted, every T crossed, everything. But inward, they were raving wolves, sinful, wicked. And they judged everybody on the outside. That's why the Bible says to cast the beam out of your eye before you try to get the mote out of mine. I know it's preaching time. I'm trying to help you. The church of Sardis had this. But also, again in verse 4. Look in verse 4. Again in verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I'm glad to tell you again this morning that you don't have to be caught up in a Pharisaical relationship with a church or with a person of Christ. You don't have to have a judgmental attitude. You can have love and compassion that makes a difference in a person's life. And you can actually be humbled and be alive and not dead. What happens is all these rituals, and even Baptists, we have rituals. We come, we sing three songs, turn this page, turn this page, turn this page, and we play a little song. We go right back to the pew, and we do it 365 days a year. I wish we had church all the time. Anyway, 52 times, however many times we go to church, and we just right out, right? Nothing's changed. You know what that does? It creates formalism. It creates a habit. And it does not revive us unless we do it from our heart unto God. So we have the Holy Spirit as our leader and we try to follow Him. But thank God there's a few that did not defile their garments and they walked white and they walked worthy. And let me just say, these are they who won the battle. These are they who persevered. These are they who made it through quarantine and came back to church. These are they who have faith in God. There's just a few. Seems to be. These are they. Amen. Praise His holy name. The rebuke says, thou art dead. You're dead. Verse number 7, this is what He said about them. I'm sorry, not verse number 7. Verse 2, it says, verse 1, the last three words, thou art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before the Lord. The rebuke here says, listen, you're dead. You're the Sardis church. You fell into formalism. It's all about an image. It's all about you having a self-righteous image in front of people. And it's not about substance on the inside. Listen to me. You're too worried about what everybody thinks about you that you're not worried about your inside. And the person you are is the person. Let me just say this. You put you in a secret place where it's just you and nobody else. And just you and your cell phone in a room by yourself. What you do in that room is who you are. That's who you are. Don't judge. Don't tell me that I need to be better when you're not better in your own room. In your own dark place, or in your own car, or you're by yourself, what you, the person you are in secret is the really person you are. Right. Amen. Well, Brother Andy comes over, I'm going to turn this off, and I'm going to hide this, and I'm going to do this, and the preacher's coming over. Hey, man, get all this, let me get everything out, clean everything, make. Quit! Don't do that! Don't do that! Just be the person you are. Learn to be a Christian on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day that ends with a Y. And remember, God is omnipresent in your life, and live for Him. Amen. Don't live for man. I'm just flesh and blood. I'm just a man. But live your life for God. Don't be caught up in formalism. Be alive. That's dead religion. 2 Timothy 3:5-7 says that they had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. From such turn away. I'm almost done. Hang with me. They had a form of godliness. They had a form, Sam. That form of God looked like they were godly. I mean, we're the best at this. We really are. But they denied the power thereof. We went to church and we never worshiped. Isn't that what we're supposed to do here? This is called the place of worship. The formalistic time for Sunday morning worship is 11 o'clock. All through America, usually. Used to be, and I thank God for that. I thank God for some time. But if we're not careful, we fall into formalism. We walk in at 11, walk out at 11:45 or 12 o'clock or 1:30, whatever time. And we're not no difference. I'm trying to help you. We come to a place of worship, but we never worship. We come to a place called the house of prayer that even Jesus Christ said, you've made the house of prayer a den of feasts. You're selling merchandise. You're doing this and you're doing that. He stood on the steps, made a whip and scourge, and went in the house of God, that synagogue, that place of worship, and overturned the tables because I was trying to make money and sell things in the house of God. And Jesus said, you've made it a den of feasts. I know this ain't popular, but I'm not sorry about it. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. You know what? It'll be popular when we get our hearts right with God and we understand what God's trying to tell us, that we'll be a church in Izzard County in 2021, that we'll be a remnant faithful church, that we'll be a few that's chosen to keep our garments white and stay pure and not to be caught up in formalism. We'll be considered a church that is alive, not by a name, but by a life living. Come to our church. Come to our church. Come Sunday night. Come Wednesday night. Come next Sunday. Come, and you'll see we're not a dry church. Matter of fact, we're a loud church. We're probably the loudest church that I know of, that I've been around in a long time. We shout, we praise the Lord, we sing a lot of songs because we like singing, and we don't want to come in formalism. We don't want to come and then just create some kind of ritual, but we want to come and do what we came for, and that's worship God and also praise His holy name and rejoice and shout and praise His name and pray and preach. What we need is to be alive, not be a dead church. Amen. You say, well, you're doing it all for us and we're just watching you like a movie. That's the problem. I'm not performing. Yep. This is not a performance. Right. As a matter of fact, you are the performers. In the Bible, there were people that were in the assembly, and they were the one performing the worship, performing the praise, performing the rejoicing, performing the amen. Can I hear you say amen? Can I hear you say, praise the Lord? Can I hear you say, hallelujah? That's what the Bible says to do, is give Him praise, give Him honor, give Him rejoicing, and worship Him because He's worthy. You say, well, I want to go to a live church. You are the church, and if you want your church to be alive, you're going to have to make it alive. Don't count on me. Don't count on Brother Johnny. Don't count on Miss Billy. to perform to you. Somebody ought to go to church with me. I'm trying to help you. Hey, I don't want to be a formalistic church, a ritual in 2021 where somebody can come in here and leave the same way they come, but they ought to come in here and say, I finally found a church that actually worshiped God, and I finally found a church that would actually praise His name, and I finally found a church that would teach and preach the Word of God and tell me like it was. Let me just ask you, what do you want? What do you want this morning? What did you come for? What did you come for? Oh, we're just so thankful. You're so wonderful. Everything about you is perfect. Oh, yes, yes. Come and go. Come and go. This ain't Burger King. Have it your way. Amen. This is Wendy's. Hot and juicy. Amen. Amen. Let it. It ain't good till it's running out. Dripping on your hands. Getting on your tie. Somebody help me. I'm talking about, what about it? The church of Sardis was cold and dead and in formalism. Everybody knew what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and how many songs, and when they was going to pray, and what time they was going to head out the door, and what the preacher probably was going to say, because it was in the bulletin the month before, or it was in the Sunday school quarterly that they got the month before. Friend, I've got a Bible that's alive, and I'm not going to preach to you out of the internet. I'm not going to preach to you out of a quarterly. I'm not going to preach to you out of a bulletin that somebody gave me a month ago. I'm going to tell you what God said this morning. And I'm not angry. I'm just telling you the truth. I know we got visitors here. And this may be what they need. This may be what you need to get us to be awake and not fall into formalism. Huh? Church of Sardis was considered alive, had a name to be alive. But God said they were dead. Now, a dead person don't talk. He don't praise. He don't worship. He don't rejoice. He just sits there all dead. It's quiet. Just... I wonder how they got that big beam up there. I hope it stayed. I wonder if that snow, this roof of all that snow. Man, my belly's about to eat my backbone out. That's what's going on. Even in the fiery churches, I mean, hey, that's what happens. Not everybody don't have to be the same. Everybody don't have to be like me. But I'm just telling you, by the authority of God's Word, if you're dead, you're going to be quiet. You'll be quiet in church. You'll be quiet out church. Some people are quiet in church, but they're loud for Jesus outside of church. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're not dead. You know what I mean? As long as the world can see that you don't have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. He lives. He's breathing. He's living. He's talking. He's acting alive. Praise His holy name. Psalms. Let's stop right here. Psalms. Y'all go to me. Go with me to Psalms. By the way, Psalms is a song, man, a psalm of David. It's a song. Look in verse, I could read the whole chapter, but I probably won't. Look at verse 8. I love you, church. Psalms 107. Did I tell you 107? All right. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. You say, well, I don't know if God's been good to me. Breathe one more time. God's good to you. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. 21. You got it marked, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children. You say, why are you repeating yourself? Because the Bible does. Over and over and over and over and over again. You know what He's telling us? Lift your hands and praise His name. You know what He told? You know what He told in His walk in life? He said, if you don't praise me, I'll have the rocks cry out and praise you. But friend, a rock is dead, has no life. But I'm not. And you're not. You said, well, I've never praised the Lord. You ought to practice it. Matter of fact, you're disobeying God when you don't. Because it's a command from the Word of God. He said, hey, you ought to lift up holy hands. And this right here is all that man. This is God. Listen to me. This is God desiring that God's people would praise Him. Oh, that my people that I bled and died for. Oh, that my people that I live for, I gave them. Oh, that my people that trusted me and they're saved. I put their families back together. I gave them a new life. I forgave them of their sins. I saved their children. I saved their parents. I gave them wonderful things. I fed them with food every day. I gave them cars and trucks. And I gave them a job. I gave them a church. I gave them everything they have. Oh, that they would praise me for His goodness. Man, for His goodness. Rejoicing is an outward expression of joy. And so is praise. It's all an outward expression. An outward expression. And a dead person don't do what a live person does. They just don't do it. Now, let's stand to our feet. If you're alive, if you're still alive, let's stand to our feet. I ask Sam to come. The next thing, the exhortation that he gives the church of Sardis is to be watchful. To be watchful. And it says to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. That are ready to die. Are you paying attention? Who's ready to die? Physically, we're not ready to die. Hopefully you know Jesus Christ and you could say, I'm ready to die. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about things, the things I just mentioned that are in the church of Sardis that are ready to die. They're dying. They're fading away. I don't think there's a person in here this morning that could rightfully say in 2020, I gave God all the praise that I could ever give Him. Every chance I had, I praised Him. In every circumstance that I went through, I used it as a testimony and rejoiced in the very provision hand of a protecting God. Boom. We haven't done it. There's room in every heart. There's room in every father, every mother, every child this morning. There's room in your life that you could say, this is dying. This is fading away. I want to be a watchman. I want to make sure. He said the first thing, the exhortation, he said, listen, be watchful. Be watchful. If you see me fading and dying, please pray for me. Watch me. Encourage me. Encourage me in the way. If I see you fading, I'm going to send you a text. Say, you lost your shout. What's got your tongue? What happened? Get it back. Amen. Hey, God's still good. Hey, it's still good to be saved. God's given us another day. Let's rejoice. Whatever I have to do to be a watchman. One of my jobs as a pastor is to be a watchman who watches. And the Old Testament talks about these watchmen. We'll read it next week. We'll talk about that, God willing. Sam, you can play a little bit. This watchman. I'll give you this and I'm done. Watchman didn't watch inside their house. But every city, and even the city of Sardis, and even this, they're in this place, this area that was deemed called Lydia, was the area of Sardis. There was the capital of the area that was just several hundred yards away from the city of Sardis. Look up here. Several hundred yards. And this capital was like a compound in itself. Had walls all the way around it. That's where the emperor resided. And on that wall, as they did in Jerusalem, all through the Bible, you have different cities like Jericho, they made these walls. Y'all with me? On top of the walls, there was men of watchmen. They were called watchmen. And they watched, not just in the day. It's easy to watch. Listen to me. It's easy to watch in the light. And it's harder to watch at night. It's harder to stay awake at night when everything's dark, when everything's dim, when everything around you seems to suppress you. It seems to stay harder to be awake. And what the Bible is saying, hey, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Notice that they're ready. Notice they're degressing. Notice they're degressing. They're going down. They're ready. My praise, my worship, my glory, my witness, my Bible reading, the things that I've done are declining. Why? Be a watchman and strengthen them things. They said in this, outside of this city of Sardis, one of the ways that the enemies would try to come in and get in, that they would watch the watchmen. And in one particular circumstance, one of the watchmen on the wall at night bent over the wall like this, and his hat fell off down the wall, landed on the ground. And one of the enemies was out there watching them watchmen, because they're trying to see when they're not looking if they can do something. And that watchman that was on the wall, Miss Billy, walked over and evidently went down some type of tunnel in the wall that they had. Went down and opened a secret door. Opened a secret door and stepped out. Got his hat. Went back in that secret door, closed it. Went back up on his post. And during a watchman's shift, the enemy went to that door in the darkest of night and got through that door. And overtook the city. Because the watchman left his post and revealed to the enemy the secret door. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. What about it, church? Have you left your post? Have you left your post? Have you went down and revealed to the enemy your secret door?